This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up,
get on up,
stay on the scene,
get on up,
like a sex machine,
get on up,
get up,
get on up.
Sports Radio 92.9 and the game, 92.9thegame.com. Dylan, we've got it right off the shoot, that bounce back. Sam and Greg's, 6 a.m. until 10 every Sunday morning. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Oh, do we have Mr. Crenshaw? We've got some mechanical issues, it sounds like, right out
yep.
of the chute. There we go. Sam?
Right here.
There you go.
Never
I'm
left.
I'm going to let you talk for a second because Dylan's got to work on a little bounce back here. I can't hear anything, but I'm hearing myself. So as we,
okay.
work, as we work on that.
All right.
How's your weekend going so far?
All right. As Don Cornelius used to say during the scramble board, while you work on that, we work on this.
Yeah.
More than everybody, hope everybody's having a great and safe holiday weekend. It is a holiday weekend. It's the last holiday of summer before we get into the fall, and we're already doing some fall type stuff. There's been some football in the area this week, high school football. And still another weekend away from some college football from teams from our part of the world, but that's on the way. But still a lot of sports happening, a lot of things happening. And, you know, we hope wherever you are, if you decided to go out of town, travel, that you're doing that safely. If you're going to gather today, it's going to be an event. Maybe not the big, huge event. Maybe something small. I think everybody's been encouraged to do something a little bit of a smaller scale. It's the weekend. The weather's nice. And we ain't expecting everybody to just stay in the house, you know, on a weekend like this. You expect people to get out and have some fun. But be cognizant of just how many folks you're around and how close you are around folks. I think that's the thing that people want you to watch for.
It's an amateur weekend.
This weekend.
Still there.
From last night.
Yeah,
Braves dropped one. We were waiting to see what was going to happen when Freed didn't have his best stuff. And we saw last night, sadly, 10-4 the final score. Philadelphia with the win. Washington with the win over the Braves last night. We'll see if they can get back into up in Philadelphia. They brought the bats up in Washington. They brought the bats out big time against Atlanta last night. And once again, the team, you know, searching for a starter. They're searching for starters who can go, you know, into that at least four innings. You know, four innings. Ideally, you like to go beyond five, but right now we're looking for a starter to get us beyond four. The bats have usually been bailing this team out, and Acuna had a big home run, a big leadoff home run last night. But it didn't hold up, and the Nationals come away with the win. Kind of reminding you, you know, who they are. You know, they're still the defending champions, and they want you to know that. So Washington with the win. Atlanta United, meanwhile, didn't get the win, but they didn't get a loss either. And I guess we should be thankful for those things, huh? A goal in extra time with, you know, time running out late in the match. Looked like they were going to fall to Orlando City 1-0. They end up with a 1-1 draw. We'll take it. We'll take it. The way things have been going with Atlanta United. Watched this match last night and just saw the struggles continue. Saw them get some opportunities and couldn't cash in. And just the trouble converting. Well, that's been there all season. And we know what happened with the squad this week with the departure of Pity Martinez. A lot of people are wondering, like, where now? What's next? for this program and for this team that we've grown to expect so much from in the very short period of its existence. How do they, you know, right the ship right now? They're in the playoff spot. I believe they're in the seventh spot of the 10 that make it into the postseason. But you wonder, you know, what can they do to improve that status and get some momentum going as the season rolls along so that we get to the playoffs, we get a chance. So those are the things we're watching to see what happens, you know, with Atlanta United. Atlanta Dream playing in the bubble. That's the WNBA bubble. They fall to Las Vegas 89-79 there yesterday. Let's say as the WNBA continues to play down at IMG in Bradenton. PGA Tour is playing out at East Lake. Dustin Johnson, my goodness, he was spraying it all over the lot yesterday. Could not hit a fairway, but tells you how just what a phenomenal player he is. Even in spite of all that, he still has the lead. He still finished a round of 70, out of an opening round of 64. And he has a one-shot lead at 13 under par halfway through the tournament. Remember, today is the third round, and the final round is tomorrow.
You talking about Dustin Johnson?
Watch for that. The top golfers out there putting on a show, and rightfully so. It's a place to look forward to coming to. A lot of money on the line. Everybody leaves with a big check. But Dustin Johnson showed that he's, you know, there were some tee shots. He's ended up behind trees. He's in deep rough. He's in, you know, he's in bunkers, and he still finds a way to gather and score great on the course. And so Dustin Johnson is your leader by one out at East Lake during the Tour Championship. It's something to watch for. Also, in Louisville, they finally ran the Kentucky Derby. Remember, we got a number of events that are coming up that have been delayed from back during the spring. And Tiz the Law was the favorite going on. After all, Tiz the Law won the Belmont Stakes. That's usually the last of the Triple Crown events. This year, because of the pandemic, it was the first of the Triple Crown events. And yesterday at Louisville, Authentic led from wire to wire and won, held off Tiz the Law coming down the home stretch. So Authentic is your winner of the Kentucky Derby. If you're watching, not many people got to go. It was an odd sight. It was an odd sight seeing those horses run with nobody in the infield. And anybody's up, I've never been to the Kentucky Derby. If you've ever been, you know what it's like.
If you're in the infield,
it's like, I understand it's just a big, big party going on there. And then if you're in the stands, everybody's all dressed up with the ladies with the big hats and everybody. You know, there were a handful of folks there, just people who were associated with the teams and the owners and the trainers for the horses that were participating in the races there yesterday. And they ran a full slate of races, like you normally do, a day at the track, a day at the Kentucky Derby, in the last race.
All right, we're checking
Authentic with the win. So there's one more to go. There's the Preakness. There will be no Triple Crown winner this year. But, you know, they got to run that yesterday in Louisville, Kentucky. And I understand do we have Greg back? Greg, are you back?
Well, you here? You have me still in double. I just couldn't leave you hanging.
I'm listening for him. I can't hear him.
It's still there.
Dylan is still working on him. Dylan, by the way, we're in the virtual Kia Studios.
Yeah.
I am at one place. Greg is at another place. Dylan Matthews is the man behind the glass.
Can you
at the
hear
Kia
me,
Studios
Sam?
In lovely Midtown. And
I don't think Sam can hear
you,
me.
You're getting me, but I'm not hearing Greg at all. I don't know if
I'm
he wasn't hearing
back
me earlier,
so
but now I can't
out.
Hear him. Is he up? Is he going out?
Yeah, Dylan, you're going to have to tell him he
okay,
can't hear me.
Okay,
so we're going to work on this. Well, I'm going to back.
I can only hear you. I can't hear him. So I don't know if you want me to back out and let Greg take it the rest
Sam
of the way
to
the break
to
or whatever. Okay. Okay. I'm going to keep going, but I want to bring Greg in. It's what we normally do. This one of the folks, we're working on some things. And once again, this is a live broadcast. That's how you know it's live. Sometimes things get a little off kilter, and we got Dylan Matthews in with us this morning, and we're happy to have him in the house, and he's pulling things together for us. And we met yesterday and talked. We welcomed him in to be our producer this morning, and he was looking forward to having a great show. We got great stuff coming up for you. There's so much happening this weekend, as always, on this weekend. We don't have college football in our area, but we do have the NFL on the way. And, of course, the opening week for the NFL starts Thursday.
Dylan.
Teams made their final roster moves yesterday. Everybody's down to the 53-player limit. And interested to see some of the players who are in and some who are out. We're going to talk about that as we go along this morning. Mike Conte is going to join us later on. I always say he's the hardest working man on the ninth floor at Colony Square, and he is. last night he was working the play-by-play call for Atlanta United. We're going to get his thoughts on that. Of course, he's part of our broadcast crew for Falcons, and we're going to get his thoughts on the roster moves that were made by them this week. That's coming up later on. He's going to join us at 9:20. At 8:20, we're going to have Chris Marler, who was doing his other occupation last night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Chris Marler's joined us before, talks SEC and Southern College football. Saturday, Panorama News, talking U.S. Open. We're through the halfway point, and some of the players we expect to see are there. There have been some who've lost. And we're going to watch to see what happens with that. We got an American men's player who's going through the second week of the U.S. Open. That's been a rare sight in recent weeks and recent years. So we're going to have that talk about that. And the showdown yesterday was Serena Williams against Sloane Stephens. And Serena Williams comes out on top. She's still on track to try to get another Grand Slam. It's going to be difficult now. We get into the second week. We're going to get Karen's thought on that. As she talks to us later on. So you want to be sure and be with us for that. We're talking college football. We're going to talk high school football. We got the first weekend in. Man, see, so some great action. But there are some teams that wanted to play that couldn't. And, you know, it kind of tells you how this season's going to go. It's going to be kind of interesting. You know, write that schedule in pencil, not ink, because you're going to change it from week to week. You know, hey, that's part of it. Coming up, we lost to one of the giant, literally, in college basketball this week, and Coach John Thompson. Some thoughts on him and what he means to some of his former players and his legacy and the coaches who now walk in the shoes that he once had. That's coming up. Sam and Greg, yes, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com, brought to you on the radio.com app, available to all your smartphones and smart speakers.
Coach Thompson, Coach Thompson was saving my life. For giving me the opportunity, I was recruited by every school in the country for football and basketball. And the incident happened in high school, and all that was taken away. No other teams, no other schools were recruiting me anymore. My mom went to Georgetown and begged him to give me a chance. And he did.
At his Hall of Fame speech, thanking the man who, as he said, saved his life. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, every Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 10. We still got a little issue here, but
I'm just back because I can't hear anything.
Good morning.
Everything's coming right back at me.
I knew this was going to be the case. I hope Dylan is
okay. I can. Yeah, Greg, can you hear me?
I can now hear you.
Okay. I couldn't. I can hear you now. I got you now. Okay.
We never would have landed on the moon if it went like this. First of all, as aggravated as we get when things like this happen, all of us, I realize because I wear a different hat at the station because, you know, for a period of time, it was just you on the air and I was your producer. So Dylan is back at the station and I've been barking at him and Ken, who was on, who will be our producer next week, was barking at him, and everybody's been barking. So I want to thank him for whatever it is he did or had to do, because he stepped into this. He hasn't done our show before.
Yeah.
And so he didn't know, and again, everything is very fluid when you don't have a chance to come out and test things because of the nature. We're not at the station, so want to thank Dylan and apologize. And the worst part about all this is, you know what? I got the worst thing happening. And there ain't a person on the planet that doesn't know what I'm talking about when this happens to them. While this is all going on, man, I had one of them eyelashes just kind of get in my eye.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what
I'm
saying?
That is the worst. That's the worst. That is just the worst.
That was going on goodness. While I couldn't hear you, and then I had this eyelash, and I couldn't get it. Ooh, and it was poking right in my eye there. And so that's the worst problem I got. By the way, what did I miss the first segment?
Oh, just talked about things that happened during the week. That's all. I mean, well, not just during the week, but the last, but yesterday and this weekend. Just teeing things up for this weekend, where we are. Tour Championship, Dustin Johnson spraying it all over the lot out there, but he still has the lead out at East Lake. We talked about the Braves falling last night. We wanted to know what would happen when Freed didn't have one of those great starts. He didn't have one of the great starts, and they lose to the Nats 10-4. Atlanta United plays to a draw. We'll take that rather than a loss. Yeah. And, you know, Authentic is your winner of the Kentucky Derby.
I was waiting for the one that
was supposed Law did not win.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one to come back and catch him, but he couldn't. Authentic kept – and, you know, listen, Bob Baffert, he's one of these dudes
that
you see once – you see him for a period of time, for about a five-week period, once a year. And every time I see this dude, the one thought that pops through my head is Bond villain.
Don't Why?
He looks like a Bond villain. He looks like a James. Looks like a villain in a James Bond movie. You know, with that with that white hair and, you know, all kind of tailored the way he is. He just looks like somebody who's smuggling nuclear bombs someplace.
Well, we see him for 5 weeks, but the rest of the time he's somewhere counting his money.
That's true. That's true. He's supposed to be trading horses, but you're right. He's counting his money. Yeah. Listen, we came back, Sam and Greg again. Apologize for the. Technical issues in the first segment. We are back 6 a.m. to 10. Remind everybody every Sunday morning. And I don't know if you ran through some of the folks. We're going to get to the segment that we planned on this this segment, but want to let folks know we got college football coming up. We're going to talk about the roster moves in the NFL. Did you mention our guest, Karen Pastana?
Yes. Yeah. Mentioned our guest. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about U.S. Open. Yeah. Of course, we got a. We're going to have Chris Marler fresh from his engagement at Ponce City Market.
Can't wait to get Chris on to talk about this. So, yeah, he's rapidly becoming one of our favorite guests to have on the show. And we got a whole football season ahead of us. But, listen, let's take a second and talk about, in the sports world, the giant that we lost this past week.
Yes.
And I know that you had
literally
some words. And John Thompson, you know, like I said, we came back here and Allen Iverson talk about what he did for him. That was one of many young men whose lives he turned around. And I know you had some special words that you wanted to say about it. You got a white towel over your shoulder this morning, too? Or are you going to be doing
white
this
towel thing? Over my shoulder? I'm doing the show with a white towel over my shoulder, man. And honor Coach Thompson. And one of the things he did, there are a lot of numbers and a lot of stats that people are going to think of. The national championship and first black head coach to lead a team to a Division I national championship. And, you know, sometimes people, he would deflect from things like that. He says, you know what? Yeah, I don't make a big deal out of that. Yeah, we won it from Georgetown, but it doesn't mean I'm smarter than some of the other black coaches who've been out there before me that just didn't get the opportunity that I got. And he would be very matter of fact about things like that. He stood up against, players and not getting a chance. He felt like some of the rules for recruitment, the requirements were not fair to some young people who came from disadvantaged backgrounds. I remember he walked off the court in protest during the game. Just said, hey, here, assistant coaches, y'all coach the game. I'm not coaching. He got up and walked out, waved his hands and walked off the court. He wasn't afraid to do those type things. And you couldn't miss him. You couldn't say, well, I didn't see him. Well, I didn't see him do that. You couldn't say that because he's 6'10", and just his presence. But his teams embodied, if you ever seen a team embody just the spirit or whatever of their coach, it was his Georgetown basketball teams. They intimidated folks.
Yeah.
And didn't apologize for it. He always had a big, with him being a center, up and played center at Providence and was Bill Russell's backup with the Celtics. You know, his teams hinged on that big dominating presence, be it Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, or Dikembe Mutombo. You know, those are the embodiments of his team, and they played with a certain attitude and a certain swagger coming from Washington, D.C. But remember this, of all the numbers they're going to associate with John Thompson, the number that jumps out more to me is 97.
Okay.
97% graduation rate.
Yep. Yeah.
97% graduation rate for his players. And people would say what they wanted to about them, the way they ministered, the way they ministered. You know, these guys were the precursor to the Fab Five. You know, they were. They were that team that made people take flake, and because they were all black, predominantly black, it made a lot of people go, you know.
Well, it was part of the Fab Five was the fashion statement, because they took a page from Jordan. They were wearing the long baggy shorts. But listen, nobody was wearing T-shirts under their uniform or under their jersey like they are now before Patrick Ewing, as I can remember.
Yeah. Well, he had one, and it's kind of like the influence of the Big East during those years, because Chris Mullin would do that. Chris Mullin did that over at St. John's.
St. John's.
And that's the other thing. You know, they became ESPN's Monday night staple. Big Monday was Big East game, and that's people got that dose of John Thompson on almost a weekly basis. But we heard Allen Iverson talk, and a lot of people are familiar with Iverson's story and the trouble that he got into in high school, and everybody backed away from him. We were hearing that he was going to end up having to go to a Division II school. We heard he was going to end up having to go to Virginia Union and HBCU because everybody else backed away, and John Thompson steps forward and said, "No, son, you come here to Georgetown. We got a place for you." And he went there and he played. But there's another player, a guy who played for John Thompson, and this man is still competing in a sport that he's participated in for over 20 years, and it's not basketball.
Go ahead.
And a lot of people may not know that there's someone who's competed in a sport, who played basketball at Georgetown, who participates in another sport. He's not participating today, but last week
he finished eighth. Sam, if you don't tell us, I'm going to run out of the traffic.
Well, listen, listen.
That's a tease. Go ahead.
Listen to. Last week, this guy who played on the team with Allen Iverson at Georgetown finished eighth at Daytona.
Go ahead. I know you're talking
about NASCAR driver.
The folks in there, had an edge.
Brendan Gaughan, who's a veteran NASCAR. You may see he's a journeyman NASCAR driver. Truck Series, Xfinity Series. Some weeks he drives Cup. He's on the basketball team with Allen Iverson at Georgetown. And he's not built like your ideal basketball player. He's built kind of like Barney Rubble. But he was this guy with an attitude and would be aggressive. And John Thompson brought him on the team basically to harass Iverson every day in practice. That was his role.
Okay.
To go in to be physical with him, to bounce him around and whatnot. And so little did people know that he was going to end up coming out of playing college basketball and going to have a career in NASCAR. And you ever at the track and you get a chance to meet Brendan Gaughan, and you bring up John Thompson, that guy will talk to you all day. He will tell you incredible stories. I remember talking to him out at Atlanta Motor Speedway once. And I guess because of the basketball experience, he had an all-black pit crew for his truck. And this was years ago, before the Revolution Racing program that we talk about now, that's getting guys that are coming off football teams and basketball teams. But he was before this. You know, that's how long he's been out there competing. So to me, Brendan Gaughan is a tremendous story. Didn't play that much in games. He got in a few games. But his main thing was at practice, and he went out there. And, you know, ironically, that famous quote by Iverson is practice. We talked about practice.
Right.
Well, his practices at Georgetown at this white guy built like Barney Rubble, who just chased him around the court every day. And we see the end result for him. But that's the player, the former Georgetown Hoyer, who's still out there competing, who was influenced by John Thompson and just simply loves the man. So, that's something.
First of all, we're right up against it, so I'm going to have to save my John Thompson tribute to the next segment.
Okay.
Because I had some things I wanted to say, but I just want to let you go down this road here. And everything you said, pertinent. But now I got this picture in my head of Barney Rubble guarding Allen Iverson. Barney Rubble with no shoes on, no Nikes, getting the crossover put on him. Listen, I got something I wanted to say about John Thompson up next.
Okay.
We're also going to talk a little college football. And if we have some time, talk about some of these roster moves that were made this past week in the NFL. I don't know if we'll get to all of that, but we're going to get to most of it. Dylan, great work. And speaking of Dylan, we have a segment. Since we don't have Jaheed today, and we'll get into that as to why, we, instead of our usual 740 segment, we're going to meet the producer. So we're going to let you know who has been pushing buttons and who now has been cussing us out back at the station.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
You're going to meet the producer coming up at 740. But in the meantime, a couple thoughts I have on John Thompson. We'll see if you agree or not. Up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You can also check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
I hear about, when I hear this, I think of Jackie Brown.
Oh.
Yeah. And what's his name's about to go catch it? Chris Tucker's about to go get it from Samuel L. Jackson. In the car. Anyway, again, want to thank a few adjustments. I want to thank Dylan again for his work. Coming up to 7 o'clock hour, we're going to get an overview of what's been going on in high school football. Obviously, Corky Kell and the stories surrounding, well, this first week. Also, going to talk U.S. Open with Karen Pristana. This is a special day in an all-time great tennis player's life. Something very, very important happened on this day. We're going to talk about it. And coming up later on in the hour, going to meet the producer. Dylan is joining us today. But yeah. I want to piggyback on what you were talking about with John Thompson. Again, I think everything that you were saying and the makeup of the man and the team was, as you said, a product of the Big East at that time. I mean, it was the place to play basketball. If you loved basketball, I mean, there were other programs out there. But this was – Duke wasn't the destination that it is now. When these guys were getting it done.
And you know what I wondered? I would always wonder, it was years ahead of time, if a young Lou Alcindor would have ever gone out west if the Big East was what it was during the 80s and early 90s. Would he go all the way out to UCLA when he had a conference right outside his door that was playing that kind of basketball and was getting that kind of visibility? Although UCLA had their own national TV deal. You could see UCLA games all over the country. But would he have gone from New York all the way to L.A. with what was going on right down the street from him?
But here's the thing, though, Sam, along those lines, he went out there because of the man, okay? Now, you're talking about a conference, and within that conference, you had a collection of men, meaning John Thompson wanted to beat up on Raleigh Massimino. Raleigh Massimino wanted to beat up on Lou Carnesecca. Lou Carnesecca wanted to beat up on Jim Boeheim. All those guys, and they were all great coaches, by the way.
Yes.
I have to laugh when I think about the young coach of all of those, this young kid, this upstart. I think it was UMass was his first one, Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was coming in and cutting his teeth with those dudes. So you had a collection of very, very good coaches, probably all considered great coaches if they were in another conference, but because they were beating each other up on a regular basis, you had this icon out there on was it Westwood?
Yep, yeah, Wizard of Westwood.
Yeah, out there in John Wood. And so, yeah, I could see why he would go out there, but yeah, it's a good question. You wonder, would he be the player if he would? Would he have been able to? To do what he did. In other words, you know, perfect that shot, actually get the dunk taken out of basketball, where he in basketball. That's how good, you know, Obama was talking about that when he gave him the Medal of Freedom. He said, you know you're good when they changed the game because of you.
Yeah, yeah.
It changed the game. There's only three people I can think of in sports that they ever changed the entire game or the way they play it because of them. You got him, you got Bob Gibson. They lowered the mound in Major League Baseball because of Bob Gibson. And then the Tiger proofing of Augusta National.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the three. Anyway, I wanted to get into this and I don't know, and I wanna tread lightly because on the surface this is not a you'll see where I'm going with this. But would you consider this? we don't have the dream team, what is considered the best basketball team ever, were it not for John Thompson. You know where I'm going with this?
No, but go ahead.
The U.S. Olympians had never really had a hiccup in the Olympics until what happened in 72 when the Russian, you know, we got stolen from them, and you've seen the replays a million times, okay? So that was an outlier, and they feel like they got robbed from that, and those medals, those silver medals, Doug Collins and all those guys on that team left them, and they're still sitting in the back offices of the Olympics, you know, offices in Switzerland someplace or Sweden. I think it's in Switzerland. So they come back, and they get it done in the next few Olympics. But unfortunately, after 84 with Michael Jordan and Patrick and those guys lost in 88 in Seoul, Korea. And it was a byproduct of the rest of the world sort of catching up, starting to catch up to American basketball. And you could see it in those 84 games. You could see it in the there was no games in 80. 76, 84. Got the gold, but then in 88 with, and I want to get this right here because those guys had a packed team. I don't know if I have them in front of me here, but they lost the 88 Olympics. And when they lost that 88 Olympics in Seoul, Korea, the mechanism started. Boris Stankovich was the guy who was the head of FIBA, was like, you know, listening and hearing these American basketball players saying, listen, it's not fair. You're letting these other countries use their professional players, but we can't go play. And he finally understood that this can't be a respected competition if you don't have the best players there. So I'm saying to you that by the time the 92 Olympics came around in Barcelona, that's when the movement started to get pro players, and it wouldn't have happened had they not lost in 88. A team that was coached by John Thompson. My point is, it's sort of a backhanded compliment, but I mean, A, he got to be the coach of the Olympic team, which says something about his coaching right there. But I don't think if they win that 88 games, we don't have the dream team in 92. The urgency wasn't there to get pro players in the Olympics. And then you talk about Rod Thorne and those guys trying to convince Michael Jordan and Magic and Larry and all those dudes to sign on board David Robinson to be on that Olympic team. Anyway, again, it's just circumstances. You know, you take something, what's the old phrase? You know, you take some lemons and you make lemonade. So, yes, we didn't expect to lose. David Robinson and those guys on that 88 team are devastated by that loss. David Robinson gets to make it up, of course, on the Dream Team. But that team kind of started the push toward getting pros to play in the Olympics. That's what I wanted to say. The other thing I wanted to mention is, you think that people know that this guy's got two NBA championship rings? John Thompson, that is. I mean, he played 2 years, played with the Celtics. Not a bad backup job. He's backing up Bill Russell. But he got himself a couple championships. He got himself a couple championships in 65 and 66. I mean, the resume is beyond reproach.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what he did, and again, as you say, the graduation rate is the most important thing for these kids, and what he's done for the players, not just accumulating a bunch of wins.
But also, Greg, about the legacy of young coaches now who stand on his shoulders and the shoulders of guys who were around at that time, like George Raveling and Nolan Richardson, John Chaney. Oh, kill you! Oh, kill you! those guys were that same time, man. You know what I mean? So I mean that's now you see so many more, you know, African American head coaches of major college basketball programs throughout the country. Yeah. So yeah.
Anyway. Again, that wasn't an insult, was it? I mean, as far as, you know, talking about that 88 team.
No.
Again, it's a byproduct of what he did, or, you know, the players not getting it done. They got a bronze in the 88 Olympics. But that's not good enough for us. This is where the game started.
Yeah, we don't want that.
But it started listen, we went from the griddle at 20 below and then back again, because once the professionals here in America got to the Olympics, we saw what happened and we remember what happened. Okay? So again, eventually everybody's going to catch up to that dude's fastball, so to speak. You can't just come into the league and throw it 105. You got to have some movement to it.
Yeah.
There's an analogy in there someplace, but I'm going to move on. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, whether it was the college game starting this past week or movement, we'll come back to the NFL in a minute, but as the college football season opened up these last few days, what's your takeaway from it? We don't have, you know.
It's good to see it taking place. It still makes you wonder a little more about, you know, the conferences that are sitting out. And, you know, we're seeing it. We're seeing it in some teams in some, you know, lower conferences, some teams in the FCS level that are, their conferences are not playing for championships, but the team wanted the option to still play games, they can. And that's kind of what we're seeing. Being in the Sun Belt Conference and following Georgia State, seeing some Sun Belt members get some TV time, and that's why they're playing. You know, they're still going to compete, you know, for their conference championship, but they're going to fill in some of this content time. And so we've seen Sun Belt Conference teams and Conference USA teams in primetime spots yesterday. You know, we saw Arkansas State against Memphis last night, Texas State against SMU earlier during the day. You know, we've had, you know, Alabama-Birmingham played a game the other night. South Alabama has beaten Southern Miss. You know, those are teams that are not in Power 5 conferences, but people say, well, why are those programs playing? Part of them playing is going to be they're going to fill in some of this void. I mean, people are going to get to see them, get to see their facilities, get to see their and meet their coaches in this pandemic. And hopefully, Greg, it's all done safely. I went to two football games last week, and we're going to get into what you saw when you watched TV this week.
It's just, listen, I'm glad I'm not next to you, Bia, because I want you to have a few days where you can isolate. Because you don't know what you ran into.
Yeah. Well, I stayed way away from it. I didn't go anywhere near the crowd now where I was. And we're talking high school football as well. So, you know, that's what we're
that's
talking
up
about.
Next.
Yeah, because I found a spot on the field and I got like in a corner. I really did. I said hello to people who were there, the executive director of Georgia High School Association. That's we'll get into that coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah. In fact, save that. But I do. One of the things that I was looking at, just two things. I was waiting to hear upcoming news. I'm waiting to see how, you know, the cage that Jim Harbaugh is in trying to bust out of, and he's going to will Big Ten football back or do whatever he can. We'll be up and ready by next weekend. You know, he's walking around like General MacArthur, and God bless him. You know, we'll see what happens with the Big Ten. But the conferences that are still active, I've been monitoring what's going on within them and the movement and the words that are coming out. And one of the things that I noticed, the Big 12, they determined on Friday the teams with at least 53 players available, including you got to have like what, 7 offensive linemen, 4 interior defensive linemen, 1 quarterback. They got to play. Otherwise, it'd be considered a forfeit. They all have to be available, testing positive, and ready to go. And if not, under those standards, they forfeit the game. So even if you're there, I mean, there's a number that's now in place as far as you have to have this many players. How many opportunities are these teams going to take as far as moving play? Okay, we got 53 guys, but we only got so many linemen, or we only got so many of this, so many of that. It's like baseball players when they're getting – we saw this past week too. When the team's getting killed, you put the shortstop in the pitch. We've been seeing a lot of that this week, position players pitching because teams don't – their bullpens are exhausted. They don't want to – you know, they figure they're down 7 runs or more than 5, and we just need to get out of this inning because if you bring in a relief pitcher, you got to face at least 3 batters, all the new rules. It's been interesting, especially as we get down to what? We got about 40 games under our belt, right, as far as baseball?
Right.
So we're coming down to the last 20 games before whoever's going to make it to the playoffs. Bullpens are being stretched. So we're seeing a lot of ad-lib going on, and I'm saying that might be the case in football too. But I don't know if it's going to be as easy to plug in. I mean, we got a few teams where you have some running backs or wide receivers who used to play quarterback, whatever. They may be plugged into that. But that's kind of what I've been watching. This is still very new. It's still very fluid. So as this plays out, that's been my takeaway from the beginning of this week in college football. But we got Chris Mahler coming out. I'm sure he's going to enlighten us with some things we have missed.
I'm sure he will.
And there'll be a punchline attached to it.
He will do that for sure. Hey, coming up next, we're going to get into some high school football, and I do want to reflect on the passing of someone that we lost who was big for high school sports in our area. We're gonna mention him as well, but also get into Corky Kale and some things that we saw this week from the teams that did get to play, because there's some that didn't. And this is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Glad you're with us here on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. You can find us on the radio.com app for your smartphones and all of your smart devices. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.